Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be.
It's the Rad Reality Show. Tonight is Thursday night, and we will be having a assortment of different subjects. So don't sit back and twiddle your thumbs. Turn off your television. You know, interact with us and have fun tonight. I want you guys to call in, though. Please participate. The show won't be good without your participation. 347-237-5506. Make sure you push the 1 because I'm not going to pick up unless you push the 1.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here with us tonight. I hope June 14, 2012 has been good to you. You're listening to the Rad Reality Show on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight is our Reality Roundtable show where we don't focus on just one show as our topic of discussion. We talk about all kinds of reality shows. And we really do want to hear from you tonight to find out what your favorite reality shows are and what you're watching, what you plan to watch for the rest of the summer. So don't be shy. We don't bite. Calling in to talk to us is just the same as calling any of your friends. We all have an area code and an 8-digit phone number. So get your fingers ready. Paul, he's not going to bite you, I promise. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your host tonight, along with Paul from Minnesota. He's the one over there growling. We'd like to hear from all of you. Right, Paul?
Yes, and I do watch Dog in the City, and there was that pit bull. Did you see the most recent episode? That's why
yes, I did.
Yep.
He handles those dogs pretty well, though.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. It was sad to hear the history of that dog, though. That
oh my goodness!
Basically, was tossed out of a car and that type of thing. I really didn't think that dog would turn around as quickly as he did. But no, we don't bite people. And I agree with Tony. It's hard for me to turn off TV. Mine is muted because the twins are playing and. So I'm not going to turn it off, Ron. Sorry. And
so,
Thomas is in there. Thomas, we need somebody to. It seemed like on Twitter, people were just all of a sudden talking about CBS and bad arguments and failing and all this, and I couldn't piece together what was going on. So if anybody has any specific info on the status of the lawsuit against the Glass House by Big Brother, there was a picture, and I don't know the context, but Pepsi Rich captured a picture from the Hollywood Reporter, and in the upper frame, it had our dear Portuguese princess, Michelle Costa, and in the lower frame, it had Holly Yacko from Glass House, and I don't know what that article was about or why they put Michelle's picture in there, but if anybody has some further detail on that, it would be so nice to see, to hear, rather.
What was the article from?
Pepsi Rich snapped a picture, and it showed, you know, Hollywood Reporter. Let me grab the picture from Twitter here that he put up there. There it is. Copy link. And open window number
CBS
16.
Must not be very successful in keeping the ABC from the injunction, I guess is what I'm trying to say, from going on, because they are showing the Glass House and we haven't seen anything, you know, keeping them from filming and showing it. They're doing the live feeds. They're carrying on. So I don't see that, you know, they're able to really hold them back right now. I don't know how far they're going to take this, but it doesn't seem like right now they're being very successful.
Well, I think they should just let it be. As far as what we've seen so far, for those of us that have endured 3 straight days of only 1 hour of streams that were just a major fail.
You think so?
I think Did you watch all 3 days or any of the streams?
I missed the first day, and I didn't get to see all of today. But
today was the hardest to sit there and wait. It was like, okay, which would you like the house guest game? What game would you like them to play? Dodgeball or sexy yoga or activity or whatever? So they go out and play dodgeball, and the only twist was the fans got to choose what they were going to throw at each other. And after one round, it was like, okay, that's good enough for me. But they played a second round and another round. And the last round, they had rolled up rolls of toilet paper rolls that were throwing. And actually, Robin took one right in the gut and hurt herself. I mean, Jacob wound up and just tossed it like a fastball and it was kind of crazy. And then they said, what would you like them to do next? You know, or they didn't even ask what we'd like to do next. They just immediately go to the sexy yoga. And that was interesting for about 2 seconds, you know. And there apparently is some drama going on, and that's what I want to see.
Exactly.
Gene, Mr. Hollywood was yelling at Alex. Alex apparently is stirring up a lot of shit in the house. Excuse my language, but he is stirring the pot, and there's something going on there that we really aren't seeing. So that's what I want to see on the feed. So
I think they definitely need more live feed time. But I will say one thing. The Glass House puts the Big Brother house to shame far as
100%.
The house itself.
Except, Sherry, I just have to say this. I kept wondering, and I think we finally got a peek of it. I wondered if they had a backyard. And I thought, oh, look, they're going out in the backyard today to play dodgeball. Until I noticed that it was phony grass on the walls like it was not outside. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them that, apparently there's not an outdoors, but how cool was it when the yoga instructor entered the house? That was cool. Did you see that part?
No.
All right. Do you remember old Star Trek when they go into the transporter pods and they'd stand on those little circles and then they disappear? Well, there was two. There's a little glass room, obviously, with two red circles on the floor, and all of a sudden, like at a rock concert, up from underneath the floor rises this red circle, and standing on top of it is Elizabeth, the yoga instructor. And when she left the same way. She walked in there and stood on those discs and dropped into underneath the house. So I'm thinking they're also going to use that when they send the first two limbo people out, that they'll have to go in there and they'll drop out of sight from the house. But it's kind of it's an amazing house. I love the house.
Boy, CBS is really digging deep. I'm looking at this article.
Oh, you found one.
Kid Shacky put a link in there.
Okay.
In the
Thanks,
chat room.
Tony.
And they're comparing camera angles. And anytime you have two shows that are, I mean, this would be akin to if you took The Talk and what's the other one? The first,
The View,
and said that they had similar camera angles. Of course they're going to have similar camera angles.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
you're kidding. That's an argument?
That's what this whole thing is. They're showing camera angles that are similar. And I just...
I don't think a junior high school student that hasn't taken one bit of law would even use that as an argument. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Anytime you have, you know, people that are living in a house, there's going to be similar camera angles at some point. I just don't get where CBS is really going to win this battle. I think they're really climbing a huge mountain that they're not going to get to the top of.
No, I just don't think it's gonna happen. It, from what my spidey sense gives me, it's gonna go on, and I'm not sure if the players, as they're known in the glass house, I'm not sure if they know what the rules are, because a little bit that I've caught, they've actually, the first day when the stream cut at the end of the hour, mine was still going, and it went for an extra hour where it was just like regular feeds where we just watched them interact with each other.
Bonus.
The next day, say what?
I said bonus.
It was a bonus. And then the next day it lasted maybe 10 minutes, and today it lasted maybe 5 minutes over. But in a little bit that I caught, Alex was, actually this happened just before it started yesterday. Alex was in the bathroom talking with Joy and saying, You really think people are going to put me, you know, that the housemates or the players, you know, in the house are going to put me in limbo? And she said, yeah, I don't want to, you know, lie to you, but I think they are. So it's almost like they think that people in the house are going to vote them out. But I kind of read over it again. And the way it's going to work is whoever at the end of this current voting period, which, by the way, ends on Tuesday evening. Next Tuesday evening is when the voting for, you know, who the fans like in the House ends. And once that voting ends, the two out of the 14 that are receive the least amount of votes will each be a team member. They will be a captain of a team. And whichever of those two teams loses, the captain goes into limbo automatically. And then the remaining people in the House vote on who the second person they're going to send into limbo is. So, and then once those two have been determined, that's when the fans vote on who of those two we're going to bring back into the House. I hope I explained that correctly. Was that confusing? Or?
No, I understood it. And this is for the Glass House.
Yes.
I asked that because the rumor mill has started churning for Big Brother.
Okay, let me answer what Puff asked before you continue that, Sherry. Limbo means that there, through this process, there are going to be two people, basically, like in Big Brother, who are up for eviction. So that's what they call their limbo. At the end of this process, there will be two people that are in limbo, and that's one of those two people returns, and the other one is gone for good. Now, what they do is they actually, there's a separate place on that compound where these two people leave. They actually leave the house proper by themselves until the fans decide which of the two they're going to let come back in. So in that time period, they're in limbo. They don't know what's going to happen. They're just kind of hanging there waiting for the fans to decide. So that's what limbo is. So rumors for Big Brother is what you were going to talk about?
Yes. I just had recently gotten information on some rumors about Big Brother, and I can read to you what the initial rumors are for this season of Big Brother. And they are: there will be 12 house guests initially to be divided into two teams of six. The show will feature one house guest from each non-all-star season as an homage to Big Brother's Ionic Run. One of those house guests specifically might be Evil Dick, since his return last season ended in medical emergency. Repeat rumor from seasons past is that there will be three nominees for eviction this season rather than the regular two. Slop might be getting a makeover. Look for a new house with a twist a la Redemption Island for players to have another chance to stay in the game. The ghost of Big Brother past will make an appearance as some of Big Brother's most memorable twists are revisited but slightly tweaked. So when you were talking about having this something similar to Redemption Island or being able to come back in the house, the limbo, it sounds like Big Brother is planning on a similar sort of...
All right. I'm sorry. It happens every year, and it's fun for, you know, entertainment purposes only. But these kind of very detailed reports and rumors...
Yeah, those
really
are only rumors.
I never really buy into. I remember... And whoever this person was a very imaginative and good writer, but it was right before BB12 started, and there was details like...
Oh, I remember that.
Of the house, remember that?
Yes.
And they said, and here, and they it was like...
They had pictures of the room. Remember the room with the casket in it?
But the way they put their words together, it was very descriptive, and it was almost like, oh, that person is looking and telling me this detail. I felt like I was in the house And I remember getting on Skype with Lydia shortly after that, and I read it to her, and she goes, oh, that's so cool, you know. None of it happened.
Right.
None of it. So if somebody is talented at writing and describing, you know, putting words, you know, create, you know, into picture type of words, and is talented at writing, it sounds very believable. And what you just read, I'm sitting there going, boy, that sounds believable, but I just have to stop myself and say, you know, it's likely just some person's imagination. You know what I mean?
Right. As I said, this is a rumor mill, so you can't expect all of this to be true.
And the bathroom locked, right, Puff?
Yeah, they talked about how the bathroom looked down to detail. And
that community room, the green room, as we used to call it, in season 11, there was
remember
supposed
we had
to
a
be
casket
a coffin.
In it?
Yeah, there was supposed to be a casket. And do you know what? They play with our minds by putting in little things that have happened in other reality shows. Like you said, like a couple of seasons of Survivor where they brought back team members, you know, one of, you know, past Survivor person. And then the Redemption Island, you know, twist. And they use things that we've gotten used to watching in other shows and try to incorporate it and having us believe that, okay, CBS, I don't know. I don't know. It sounds cool to
but
hear.
Now,
I'm not happy if there's going to be returning people. I think everybody I've talked to is saying, don't throw in a couple of past house guests.
I We're so agree.
Yeah.
I believe in going green. I recycle all that, but I'm tired of the recycled house guests. I just am so over that.
That should be saved for a 100% all-star type of thing. You don't
exactly. I'm psyched for that. I would love to see it in all-stars, but I want it to be all-stars. I don't want to see a mixture again. And I really don't like the recycled twist either. You know, it's almost like you can tell exactly what these twists are going to be and the challenges. You know, they change the look of them a little bit, but it's the same challenge over and over and over again.
Remember in Michelle's season, Casas on DB10 when they had the earthquake wall, and then
we saw
the skiing wall, and you know, it's just over.
Get
and
creative,
over.
You know, do something new. There's got to be some creative minds out there that can come up with something new. And Lola said, that's why we love BBK. Well, BBUK, well, a lot of times U.S. has taken many of the challenges and the ideas and the themes from some of the Big Brothers from Australia and U.K. and wherever they might be. They've gotten some of their ideas from those other Big Brothers.
I brought this up last week. They had a Big Brother UK going on with Jim Henson professional-looking kind of puppets to represent the housemates in BB UK that were probably worth a couple thousand bucks a piece. They were just amazing how much they looked like them. And then later on in the summer, here we see little hand puppets that they were using in Big Brother 12 on socks with little hair there. I mean, it was like the dime store version of a professional puppet. So, I mean, they did take that from them, but it was a major fail in comparison. But I have to tell you, I thought it was one of the most funny and a wonderful tasks that they had to do this week in BBUK. Do you remember the old show, if you ever watched it, game show called Make Me Laugh? Did you ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
Where to win money or advance, the contestant had to stand in front of a comedian, and the comedian would go on, and whatever that comedian did, they were not to laugh or they would get eliminated. Well, they have to earn their food budget every week. That has been a staple in BBUK and others, where you get a food budget every week, and if you don't get a great deal of money, then you get crap food. If you pass these certain tasks, then you get more money or more of a luxury kind of food budget. And so their task this week was, they were told that for the next 48 hours, nobody can laugh. You are not allowed to laugh. If you laugh, you get a fail point counted against you. If any one of your housemates laugh or even smirk, they said.
Wow.
And so they started bringing people into, they had a group of clowns that came in, and they were just, you know, running through the house and throwing pies in a couple, you know, shaving cream pies or whipped cream pies in a couple of their faces. Nobody was allowed to, you know, laugh at that. Then they brought in at one, then they had one of the housemates who's actually up for eviction tomorrow. They brought him into the diary room and made him dress up in these really silly costumes and had to come in back into the house, and people were not allowed to laugh at how ridiculous, and he did look absolutely ridiculous. And then one of the competitions, which is really the best, is they had several of them go into the backyard, dress up in these kind of unitard costumes, but they were fitted with electric shocks.
Electric shocks?
Yes. And one other person would hit this buzzer, and it would send the shock to their butts. And
oh, my God.
They would scream. The girls would go, ah, you know, and everybody had to sit there and watch and not laugh or smirk. And like I said, then they brought in a trio of comedians, and even one had a ventriloquist dummy, and they stood right in the living room and started going through their, you know, comedian routines and trying to make them laugh. And it was amazing. It was amazing to see their restraint. They, by the way, racked up in that 48 hours, only 19 fail points. And the card said that if you stay below 25 fails, you will win this task. So they won their task. But that's creative for me. Oh, and Mr. Mac, Chris, I know everybody is loving him on TV, but he just, I would not be sad at all to see him leave, but he just irritates the hell out of me. He cannot stop arguing with people. And they're only like 8 days into this. They haven't been in there that long, and it's been a pretty good BBUK season. And I know, oh, yeah, his voice, very high voice.
Oh, he's the one with the high voice. Every time I think of that high voice, I cannot not think of the Seinfeld episode of the high voice guy. For some reason, that pops in my mind.
Oh, Adam Pock, Joe? Adam just said, he wrote and just said hi all, so I assume he's talking about Adam Pock.
Let's see what Dina has to say.
It's our redneck mama.
Hey, Miss Dina, thank you for calling us on the Rad Reality Show tonight. How are you doing, girl?
Wore out, but I'm about TV head mushed out for the last 2 days.
Catching up, are you? After being out there on the boat for a while?
What a great, great tournament. But I'm telling you what, I am stuck on this glass house. I think just the excitement of the show has got me. You know how you are in the Big Brother season when you're about, what would I say, about the ninth weekend, eighth weekend, and we've watched it 24/7, and at this point we don't give a damn who wins. We just want to see somebody win without killing somebody. That's how I feel about Big Brother. I'm done with Big Brother right now. I need to get back into this section of TV land where I'm comfortable in, this glass house, if they were to run a 24-hour, 7-day feed through this house, we would kill each other by the time if we had to watch Big Brother in the glass house at the same time.
That would be tough.
My brain would explode.
What I'd really like to see, and Paul, thank you so much, because it was your, I saw something on Facebook where you liked the ABC's Glass House, and really that's the only way that I reminded or can be reminded that the live feeds are going on and getting to these players.
Yeah, for those that don't know, they've got 1-hour live streams Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. And it starts at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific time. Now, they're saying, and unless they've changed it, after the show on Monday night on the television episode, they'll have like a Big Brother After Dark 4 hours worth. And I'm hoping that they do that, and the 4 hours is of just regular interaction between them, talking strategy, talking about what somebody said or did that pissed them off, you know, whatever.
Let's bring Mr. Mac up with us.
Okay, I've got to look for some links, so you guys talk while I do that.
Okay. Mr. Mac, thank you for joining us on the Rad Reality Show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this evening, Cherry?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for calling in and talking to us tonight.
No
hey,
problem.
Mac.
Hey there, how you doing?
Doing well.
How you doing?
How you doing?
You do that pretty well, Mr. Mac.
Well, the whole thing about glass house, yeah, it might turn, if they do or allowed to go ahead and do the show, I'm willing to give it a shot. It might turn out to be terrible. It might turn out to be okay, and it might turn out to be really good. I think basically CBS is scared, you know whatless, and they're trying to do this big discovery thing, trying to get all this thing, like Cherry brought up, about camera angles and script ideas and all this, that, and other. It's just a big fishing expedition. So if they are not allowed to put the show on, I would be very, very surprised. But with the court system, you never know, and it just depends on a lot of factors. So we'll find out tomorrow. It could be that the judge allows the show, he refuses the restraining order but allows the case to go forward, which in that case, you know, this could be the one and only season of the show. So we'll just have to wait and see. The social media thing, I think they've got it down pat. I mean, they listen to the fans. They when the fans are really yanking their chain about calling them fans, and then said no, started calling them viewers. I'm going like, wow, they're actually listening to the public that's, you know, watching the chatting on Twitter. So yeah, I'm willing to give the show a chance. Give it a chance. The house looks fantastic. And regardless of what Alison Grodner does to Big Brother, unless it's got a total revamp, it's like putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
Boy, you said that right.
Her
I could
twist
agree with
stuck.
More. Hey, Mr. Mac, what do you think about, I mean, the interaction that what the Glass House has done, and they actually put some thought into this process, obviously, because you get to vote why the live streams are going. CBS doesn't have the balls. I was speaking, I think it was to Cherry earlier this week about this. You know, it's a shame that Allison over at Big Brother didn't listen to the fans. When you're scratching your head trying to think of new things, listen to your fans. And I think that the Glass House is listening to the fans.
Right.
And they're not even on air yet. They've listened, and being from the Big Brother, imagine being in production, you have to be bossy and you're set in your own ways, but these people, she lost these good writers and productive staff members due to being a hard head. It has to be because I'm just waiting for the Glass House to be successful.
What I read.
I truly am. I love the idea of being able to vote while you're watching what's going on. I think that's awesome.
Some people think, well, it'd be like Big Brother won, it'll be the person that's the cutest or the that was in year 2000. This is 2012. It's 12 years later. We've got social media now with Twitter and Facebook and all this and everything else. So the times have changed, and the show has not really kept up with the times. And to be honest with you, CBS, as far as social media goes, is far lagging behind on the social media aspect for all of their shows, in my opinion.
The only show that they have that they use social media with is The Talk. They, you know, The Talk does have Tweet Me Tuesdays or whatever they have, and they use Twitter on that a little bit. And other than that, I haven't really seen many shows that they use any social media on. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what Alison Gladner does and what kind of twist she, you know, she comes up with or the production crew comes up with there on Big Brother, and if it's just revamped twist from years past or if they actually come up with something new and innovative for, you know, Big Brother 14.
I'm tired of that, like you. I'm tired of the past house guest retread. It's time to move on and do something different. I mean, if that's the only thing that you've got, then, you know. And a lot of people are, you know, saying, well, you know, it's not Big Brother. It's not intended to be. Well, hopefully, that's what the court's going to. It's not supposed to be Big Brother. It's Big Brother's competition. You can still watch this show and watch Big Brother, too. If both of them are good shows, I'm going to still watch both of them. I'm still going to watch those live feeds. And, I find it really funny that some of the people from the people, I'm not going to mention their name, that sell the live streams are all being super, super negative about the Glass House and the live feeds they've been having, everything going. Like, and I sent a tweet to one of them. I said, is that an unbiased opinion? Because you work for the company that sells the live feeds, and then I hear crickets chirping. So it's, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be a butt about it or anything like that, but, you know, it's hard to take someone serious on a commentary when they're working for a competitor.
Well, I just don't think that the Glass House is going to take that many viewers away from Big Brother. Big Brother fans are the most loyal fans in the world. And even though people may watch The Glass House, when Big Brother comes on, they're still going to watch Big Brother.
Right.
So I don't think it's really, it is competition in a way, but I don't think they're going to steal fans away from Big Brother and people that are going to say, you know, oh, I'm not going to watch Big Brother anymore because now I'm a Glass House fan. I don't think that's the case at all. I think people are going to say, the Glass House is doing this and this and this. I wish Big Brother would now do this or this or this, and Big Brother needs to step it up a little. And Lola's right, not fans, we are viewers. But I think that it's showing us that maybe there should be some changes, you know, not just putting slipcovers on the couch in the backyard.
Exactly.
And give us a little more change. We know every year exactly what's going to happen on Mondays, every day of the week, exactly what's going to happen on Big Brother. And that has its good points, but it also kind of gets a little stale.
Right. Okay, first, the first POV competition is spelling, something to do with spelling. The last two seasons it's had something to do, and Brendan spelled understanding both times. Exactly the same thing. And here's something I remember today. When Rachel and Jordan were up on the block, and that cheesy hang-on thing with the pictures plastered on these very quickly put-together mannequins, and the whole you know how good the look of production and everything, it looked like it was slapped together in the 48-hour period, because they didn't want, you know, they knew if Rachel or Jordan left the show, and more so Jordan, I would say, than Rachel, but, you know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, it depends on which side of the fence you're on. It was right. Lowell says made for Rachel. It was to keep, at least keep Rachel in the house and the immunity, and win the immunity thing so they could keep those two in there. Because
right.
Look what you had left, you know, left over.
Right.
It'd be yawner, big time. People would start tuning out.
Right.
So,
I mean, there's so much manipulation. One of the things that Big Brother could do that would totally bring Big Brother back around and make the viewers believe that they are on it and giving us what we want is opening up those diary rooms so that we could see what's going on in the diary room and shut down some of the manipulation that goes on the American Big Brother, because I, with all my heart, believe that our Big Brother is manipulated so much. And if they would just open up the diary room so that we could see what the questions are that are asked of the people in the diary rooms and what's going on with the people there, I think, you know, it would cause the game to be a more even playing field and let it be a more natural game. And the manipulation would be less.
Yeah, I have to. I'm jumping in because this one is certainly, I think, would help out. Ben said it, and Lola said it.
Add more booze.
Ben Joe said it.
More booze.
More booze. You know what, Cherry? What they do in the diary room, from what I understand, is not as much direct manipulation, but the way that they're asked questions causes those paranoid house guests in there, because they're all worried, you know, they don't know, should I be trusting this person? Could that person be doing something? And every question that they get asked in there, they go, oh, why are you asking me this? Maybe something's going on, you know, and that causes them to look at things differently. I think also they feel like a responsibility maybe to the producers, that is, a responsibility to maybe steer them a certain way for better TV. And that takes away from the reality of it, and that's almost cheating in my mind, you know, for a game. But it has produced some good TV. I will have to say that, even though I don't particularly care for it. But I don't think we'll ever get to see everything that goes on in those diary rooms, you know what I mean?
Let me ask a question to everybody. Do you think the game changed for the worse after the thrown together BB9 season?
Well, that was also when the producers changed. Basically, the producers changed BB8.
Remember the whole orgy thing? After that, they cut the alcohol back. They started blocking a lot of kind of racy kind of stuff going on and this, that, and other. I think that CBS got so paranoid, and because there was all such bad publicity, and then so basically they put the heat on Grodner to say, okay, you're going to have to clean things up and not let things go so wild and everything like that. Oh, my God, Janelle getting drunk and in the bedroom and calling out the nerd. Those are the moments that make the show. And if you try to
Speaking of which, remember in All Stars when Danielle Reyes was up in at the HOH room, drunk on her butt, and she kept knocking on that door. Remember that?
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, yeah. No.
Good stuff.
See, that's the memory I remember. Yeah. No, it does seem to have gotten a bit tamer. One thing that the live feed watchers, why they watch for as long as they do, because over the years we've learned that all of a sudden we'll have turned off the feeds and we'll hear that some stuff blew up, you know, that there was a major fight or there was this drama that went on. You go, oh, I missed it. We will, as feed watchers, will endure 10 hours of watching it just so we don't miss something that happens. And it seems to me that we've had to endure a lot more watching in recent seasons just to get to those points. So I don't know.
Sorry, Paul, go ahead.
No, I was at the end.
I got an interesting story to tell, and it's about season 11, and it's with the whole Shima thing. There was somebody that was posting anonymously on one of the fan sites and said, I'm with production. I'm telling you, the feeds are going to go down at 12 midnight. Big Brother time, and kept posting that it's a major. This is really major. The feeds are going down at 12 midnight, and everybody was kind of going, yeah. So what? Sure enough, feeds went down at at 2 o'clock my time on Central time, went down, and didn't come back up to like 7 in the morning, and lo and behold, Shima was not there anymore. So, and that person was also posting when the feeds was going down for about an hour, was posting a blow-by-blow that Lydia was wanting to leave and blah, 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 blah. Don't know if any of that was true or not, but I thought it was awfully strange that it, when that person, and they posted it like 11 o'clock my time, so it's like 2 or 3 hours later, and then boom, sure enough, the feeds go down, and
yeah, you just wonder, you know, how much gets leaked out of there, and I don't know.
Well, and they did do a taped to live eviction prior to that. Remember that, because Shima was going nuts over this special power, and she said, if my nominees don't go off CBS, I'm going to be swearing, I'm going to be doing all sorts of stuff live, and I'm going to shut down
that's
the show with my
name.
Say what?
If she threatened me with that, and I was Alison Grodner, and I'm the producer of the show, her butt would be out the door.
Yeah.
That threat would put her out of the game right there. That's fine. You're no longer in the game.
Yeah.
And they could have cut that off. No. They wanted the drama, and Lord knows we love the drama, but it backfired in their face. Totally backfired in their face. Major mistake.
I wonder if this year's Big Brother, if there will be more interaction. I wonder if this will force Big Brother to say, okay, the fans are screaming, obviously. Let's go with this. One of my favorite seasons of all time of Big Brother was the America's Voters. Now, the only thing that I had a problem with that season, me being me, is they never would give us the numbers. You know, they'd say vote for this, and then, you know, it always seemed. But I did like Eric being
Stein,
the little rat. so to speak.
He was the perfect one for America's Choice. He pulled it off very well.
Oh, my favorite was when he mimicked Evil Dick eating his cereal at the lunch table.
That was hysterical.
That was great.
Or him hugging. Who did he hug? Who was it that he hugged? Had a hug for 30 seconds.
Oh.
No, but
I
there
agree,
was
Lola.
There was,
Lola says they
there,
need to give a penalty to the singers and the loud chewers this season.
Yes. I've always said, anytime you break the rules that causes the feeds to cut, we're going to blast in some, you know, terrible music or something in the house. You know, soon enough, they would learn that, okay, it's Pavlov's principle. You know, if every time they did it, they got something very unpleasant over
just
the speakers. Or
if they cause the feeds to go down, their next meal is slop.
And I understand it's hard for them not to do it, but it's not fair to us. I mean, we're the ones that really, you know, pay for this.
Right.
And Kalia was the worst last season. I mean, she warned and warned and warned and warned. I think they finally just told her, look, you do it again, you're out of the game.
Yeah.
I
remember her coming back. I think they were out in the backyard and she got called in, and when she came back out, it was like, boy, did she get a spanking.
Dina, what was you saying?
Well, I was going to say that I'm really hoping for Big Brother, for their sake this year, that it's not a bunch of repeats or past players. I shouldn't say repeats because that's kind of ugly to our Big Brother friends and family members of this show. But I really hope, you know, at this point, I'll take even the wannabe actors or true live Big Brother fans. Adam, he was a great, I mean, Matt, some of these players that truly want to go in there. There's people out there that really want to go in there and do this. Throwing a Rachel in there is fine. It throws in a little bit of spice into the mixture. I love it, whatever. I'm just really hoping that they listen to the fans. If Big Brother could just listen to the fans, and just like Mr. Max said earlier this evening, they've really got to do something about this house. It's just boring. It's the same couch with a new slip cover. So, and I think they can do it. And if they'll just quit voting, I don't want to vote for sardines and grapes this year. I want to vote for who's going to be kicked out this year. I want to kick somebody out. I think the viewers,
you know, I don't know about going to that extreme, but how about maybe a vote to put somebody up, you know,
for a
nomination.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, CBS surely has the money to do a little more than they're doing. They changed the house one time since Big Brother has been in production, and I think it's time. You know, we've seen them unzip the slipcovers of the couch in the backyard and reveal that basically all they did was slipcover the couch, and it's the same old couch from seasons past. And, you know, it's just, can't you have a little bit bigger budget for this show? I mean, reality shows cost so much less to produce than a sitcom or something where you have regular actors. So it seems to me that they should have a little bit more money to spend on a show that has given them now coming up on 14 seasons of summertime viewing, where they have three shows a week. That's a lot of viewer time on CBS, and it seems like they should be able to offer a little bit more money to this show, build a nicer house, you know, make it a little bit nicer to look at, and give us a little bit more, as Dina said, interaction as viewers, so that we feel a little more involved and make everyone happy. And I just think that now with ABC doing the Glass House, maybe that's
enough to push them in that direction.
Right, right.
I don't know if there's enough time if they were not planning on any changes for the upcoming
season.
Yeah, but...
And, you know, I hate to say that anyone should lose their job, but I have been saying for a few years now that maybe they should, you know, Allison Grodner should pass the baton, because the twists don't seem to change much anymore. The themes don't seem to be that creative or inventive anymore. And she seems to have favorites, and she does whatever she can do to make sure that her favorites get a paycheck each year. And so she brings those people back each and every year. And, you know, we've all seen Jesse enough. We've all seen, you know, I love Rachel dearly, but, you know, we've all seen Jeff and Jordan and Rachel and Brendan, and these favorites that she has, it's getting to the point where we're all just like, oh, not again, you know?
Yeah.
And I love them outside the house. I truly do. It's just not on
well,
the show
like
again. Maybe doing a competition or hosting a competition, that would be great. But, you know, not to bring them back in the house to compete again. It's just we need something new and more innovative for Big Brother, you know, in the upcoming years. I think that...
Well, for me, it seems like she forgot everything that she learned when she was working with Arnold Shapiro, because he took the show over after the first season bombed so badly. And he totally revamped the show, and she was a co-executive producer with him. And, yeah, they had a couple of clunker seasons in there, too, but for the majority of the... What are the most memorable seasons? For me, the ones that Arnold Shapiro was a part of, and Big Brother 8, there still was a little bit of Shapiro influence still left in the show, because I imagine some of the ideas from Big Brother, you know, 6 and All-Stars and 7 were brought over into 8, you know, was kind of that they didn't use. But then after that, it's just season 10, to me personally, is the last really good season, because there was so little interference from production. The thing at the end where Dan got to go talk to Michelle was anybody could have won that. So it wasn't favored for any one person to win that. Anybody could have won that. So that was fair. Other than that,
well,
11 was
okay.
12 was pretty good last year. I mean, 12 was okay. Well, no, 12 was terrible. 13 was okay. We'll have to see about 14. But for me, 10 was the last good season.
I like 10, but I really loved 11. There was so much drama going on. There was, I don't know. I mean, if they were influencing him and holding them back, let me tell you, we had such major fights going on and arguments going on there that was completely entertaining. It really was. I mean, Jordan, little sweet, lovable Jordan going up and chest bumping, you know, scary, mean, you know, Russell in the backyard.
I'll never forget
Russell,
that.
Gema and Russell screaming at each other, you know, that what Ronnie...
They were in bed
when,
one minute, you know, laying up in the HOH being best buds, and the next minute they were, like, ready to tear each other apart.
The BB11 house guest called that Monday night at the fights. I mean, that one went from Russell and Gema, then it went to Kevin and Ronnie in the bathroom. Then Ronnie goes back in his bedroom and he starts, you know, crying back there. And that night was one of the most epic nights that I can remember in Big Brother. It just kept going on and on. And it wasn't just it wasn't just one fight between two people. It spilled over to fights amongst, you know.
And the drama started that was day one on that season, too. I mean, it started right out of the gate. It wasn't any of this nicey-nicey stuff. It was just like, from the very beginning. It was great. It was
really good.
I would give it, I would say it's number two in my favorites. Eight, for me personally, eight was my, six, seven, and eight are my big favorite seasons. I mean, I've watched it from the first season. Was a major fail trying to copy the UK version verbatim. But season two was okay. But five was okay. But six, seven, and eight are my favorites.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked for an hour now on Glass House and Big Brother.
I just want to add one more thing about Glass House before we bring up other shows, Jerry. I have been disappointed as I have slowly uncovered who these people in the house are to find out at least six of them, I think, at this point that I've found are in the regular world some sort of professional people in the entertainment world.
I do want you to cover that. So tell us a little bit about what you have uncovered on your search.
Today I found that Ashley, the little short Rosie Perez lookalike in there, that she is like a professional singer. I found her interviewed on a local. Okay, first of all, she's from New Orleans, from the 7th Ward. She's the youngest of 12 children. She is a Creole, so, you know, really hardcore based out of New Orleans. And after Katrina, her whole family dispersed, and she ended up in Houston. And in Houston, she's become an aspiring singer. She's got iTunes. She got on the local news because she wrote and sang a song just before the New Orleans Saints went to the Super Bowl. She's with some music company there in Houston, so she's an artist there. We've got a Playboy model, and her name is Ashley Forest, T-I-E-R, Forest Chair. It's kind of a little French ending to her name. there's the Playboy model is Joy Glass. Yes, her last name is Glass, who says she's, you know, was a nurse, you know, but she's actually a Playboy model. There is Holly Yacko. She said, call me Yakety Yak. My nickname's Yakety Yak Yacko. And I said, wait a minute, did she say Yacko? And I found her by searching, guessing that her last name was Yacko. She is a replant from Detroit and via Los Angeles and now in the Phoenix area because she went through ASU, but she is like a fashion model. All sorts of pictures from her modeling agency. Alex, his name is Alex Stein. Alex is called the bail bondsman from Dallas. Well, he's been planted in Los Angeles for a long time and has hit the comedy places out, you know, comedy venues in L.A. and does comedy stand-up. He's got a YouTube channel with all of his stuff on it. As also a YouTube channel for Ashley, who I talked about. She calls herself Queen One Creole is her YouTube channel. Then there is, I still haven't really pinned down his real name, but there is Apollo Poetry, as he goes by in the house, who is a performer, has done movies, little shorts, and, you know, that type of thing. Melissa, who did not end up being in the house, she has been for years a reporter, on-air personality reporter for the Poker News Network. Has been all over the world interviewing people. Holy cow, it's just...
So it seems to me like all of these people are basically using this show as a stepping stone to stardom.
Yes. They have been dabbling in it, and now they are on there to make even a bigger name for themselves, hoping to, you know, jumpstart to bigger things. And somebody, I think it was Erica, the blonde with the robotic cat in there, who tweeted the other day, "Oh, I got to give props to ABC for casting real people." Well, what does that mean, you know?
Deanna just said that Jacob and Alex are good friends before the house.
Oh, and Jacob was talking the other day. One of his regrets was he got hired by a modeling agency and didn't go. So I mean,
right,
I saw
that.
You know?
So, I don't know. That's one of the things that I consider as a negative about the Glass House. You know, there's some things that I do like about the Glass House. The house is beautiful,
oh,
and I do like some of the interaction that they have between the viewers and themselves. I like the fact that they can find out a little bit about what's going on in the real world. I like the fact that they can hear a little bit of music. I mean, so ABC is willing to pay some royalties so that they can hear some music. That's
yeah,
kind of nice for them. But for them to have these bios that say, yes, I'm a cook, well, they were a cook 10 years ago, and now they're, you know, doing whatever it is that has them in the, you know, public's eye, and they're on their way to stardom or whatever, and they're using this show as another large stepping stone to get them there.
Yeah.
That sort of really tweaks me. And
I think it is, somebody just mentioned in the chat room, and I think it is kind of fun to see tweets coming from them, but it's evident that ABC is holding them back, because sometimes all of a sudden they'll release these tweets and they'll come popping up from these people. And it's like you can tell that they were tweeted the day before, or, you know, there is no interaction with Twitter. I mean, they might be throwing stuff out there, but it's they're not getting anything back, you know, from us. But they do all of a sudden open up the floodgates, and there's like too many tweets all at once. Just, I did create a Twitter list so I could just put their tweets in there and watch them, but anyway.
So on to other shows. I watched a new show, and I know Paul hates when I do this.
Yeah, I do.
I watched a new show that I want to mention. It's one that I would encourage people to check out. I was absolutely enthralled with this show. It is awesome. It is called Barter Kings, and this show has the owner of the store's name is Steven, and his the guy that works with him, his name is Antonio, and its concept is that they barter for what they want. And I think in the beginning they say that it's a billion-dollar industry. But Steve owns a shop. It's a good-sized shop, and they have all kinds of items in there. But the thing about this show is that Antonio has Tourette's syndrome. And I think it's awesome to see somebody with a condition like Tourette's on TV, for one thing. He, you know, most people with a condition like that never has the opportunity to be in the spotlight, be on TV, and show that they can, you know, be functioning and be in the spotlight. He makes his Tourette's syndrome fun. And it's really awesome to watch. He actually makes it fun. And when they're going to do these barters, if he starts getting nervous, it makes his Tourette's sort of come out a little bit more. But he deals with it in a fun way, and it's awesome to watch. The first episode, Steve wanted to get a speedboat for his family to go to his in-laws. They had like a vacation property, and he wanted to take his family on a speedboat at their vacation property. So he took two Elvis Presley gold records that were in frames and were valued at $250 together. They were like framed gold record Elvis Presley memorabilia type things. And he said, this is what I'm going to start with, and I'm hoping to get a speedboat. And this guy went out, and they show you all the things that they barter from the very beginning, and he increases his value each time, each barter, from like $1,500 to $4,000, each time he barters, he increases his value. And he made it in 1 week all the way up to getting his speedboat. And it was amazing to watch him do it. And Antonio wanted to get a pickup truck, and he started with a used laptop. And he made this used laptop turn into a huge, I mean, it was a great big pickup truck on the big, you know, it's all jacked up on the big frame with the big wheels and all of that. I mean, it was incredible to watch these two go out and do this. The second episode, Antonio wanted to get his daughter a horse for her birthday. And it was just incredible to watch these two and how they do it, what they do. They never use money. And it was just fun to watch them do it. It was fun to watch this guy with Tourette's and see how he handles his syndrome. It was just inspiring. It was fun to watch. And
what's it called again?
Barter King. So, and Paul already put it in the chat room. Episodes 1 and 2 repeat tomorrow night on A&E at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central. And I hope that you guys can check it out. And I hope you guys like it as much as I do.
One thing Cherry mentioned to me that kind of got me interested, in addition to the other things she said, is after she watched the show, she started kind of looking around her house and going, I wonder if I could take that and barter that myself.
It does kind of get you thinking, you know, I wonder if I could actually do something like that. You know, I could never go as far as they did. These guys are professionals. But you know, there are things that you could possibly barter online and say, you know, I have this laying around, I'm not using it anymore. What would you give? You know, I'm looking for this. And who knows?
So that brings that it's entertaining, but also causes you to think about things. It's I also told Cherry, and she said, I think I have heard about it. I watched a non-reality show, people, but last night premiered The Return of Dallas on TNT. After 20-some years since it's been off the air, Dallas is back. Bobby and JR are both there. At any rate, I was just curious to see if it was going to be as good as before. But during one of the commercials, they played an ad, and Cherry, was late to getting on the switchboard because I captured this audio from the promo. So before we talk about it, well, I'm just going to play this 30-second promo.
They're extreme places of mystery, danger, and hidden secrets. Three teams. One goal. Make your escape.
I don't know how the heck it works.
It's a show like you've never seen before. The Great Escape.
Move team, stop!
The next great adventure series begins. From Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, and the creators of The Amazing Race, The Great Escape. Series premiere Sunday, June 24th at 10 on TNT.
So, it's called The Great Escape. It is, if you weren't able to catch that, it is created by none other than Ron Howard.
Opie.
I always say Opie, but he was also Richie Cunningham. But Ron Howard, who is now, you know, a major Hollywood director, and his partner, Brian Grazer, and they've been together producing, you know, Academy Award caliber movies over the years. And then they throw in the fact that it's also in collaboration with the creators of The Amazing Race. And what I was able to find out is they go to these special locations and almost kind of create little mini movie scenarios. But Alcatraz is one of them. What they do is they have every episode, they have three teams of two. And normal people, you know, that cast, you know, that they cast. And these three teams of two are put in a room, like, or a jail or whatever, like if it was in Alcatraz. They even go on a big military aircraft carrier type of ship. And they start off in these rooms, and through some sort of clues, they have to figure out how to escape their imprisonment, if you will, in these locations. And they showed them actually having to take a sledgehammer to bust through a brick wall. They had to dive under water, kind of like the Poseidon Adventure, where they had to try to get out and they have to go underwater. And they have to try to find their way to three different locations on their way to escape their imprisonment. And the first team that gets out wins 50,000. But they change these groups of three every episode. So it's, you know, three groups, three teams every episode that would win 50,000. But just to know that it comes from Ron Howard and the Amazing Race creators, it looks like it's the production, and you know, they're professional about creating these movies that have us all, you know, on our toes, wondering what's going to happen next and that kind of thing. So that's one that I'm going to check out.
I have seen the commercials for that, and I think they will have amazing sets, and I don't think they will be cheesy on the production of that show at all.
I'm talking about there's a new show that's going to premiere June 24th called The Great Escape, and it's on TNT, and it's in a collaboration, Ron Howard in collaboration with the creators of The Amazing Race. So it's a adventure type of reality show.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good one.
And then, I don't know if you've got a certain order, but we certainly have our rednecks out in force again.
Absolutely. Do you want to go ahead and talk about that one?
Well, we have gone through the first two episodes of Redneck Vacation. Last year, first season, they were in the Hamptons. They've now moved the whole clan out there into England, and they're in this amazing 97-room castle, and they just never fail to entertain me. I mean, these people are just what you can't wait for what's going to happen next. And the dynamic of having this proper British butler running the house, and he's watching all their antics and freaking out. And they even last episode, they rewired this, I think it's a Mercedes, to put the Dukes of Hazzard horn in their car.
At first, they told him that they were going to put in an injection seat.
Oh,
just
to yank
his
butler.
The butler looked
thing.
At him, and he says, "You'll have to cut a hole in the roof, you know." That poor butler looked so perplexed. He looked like he was about ready to crap his pants.
What?
I tell you what, he didn't know what to do.
What about the sheep? What about when they were...
Oh, my gosh.
Right now, they have sheep wandering out in the pastures, and they started chasing the sheep, and that little boy who loves vacuum cleaners, "Oh, I just wanted to blow dry the sheep."
And then they put the long spray all over the statues. You know, they needed a couple cigarettes. The statues, you know, the butler was walking around picking up stuff, and... You know that he is, you know, this house is so, so far more expensive than the house in the Hamptons.
Oh, and 900 some years old is when it first started being built.
You know, the guy, the young man that owns this estate, he's had dinner with him, and, you know, he is falling right in. I mean, he already looks like that he, you know, welcomes this family. He's not holding his breath. It seemed this way. He seems really relaxed that he has a very nice contract from CMT that will pay for any of the damages that are inquired from these folks. I don't think they're there to trash it. I just think they're having fun. And the four-wheelers and the motorhome that is getting ready to happen on this fine British estate is going to blow. It's welcome to the South.
Not only the butler, but we have the chef who is, I don't know where he's from. I think he might be from Norway or something, but he is hilarious. The head maid is hilarious. They are just...
What about Paul, when they brought in the squirrels and said, "Okay, this is what we want to eat tonight." So they, you know, they went out and killed squirrels, and they skinned them, and they took them in there, and they said, "All right, see what you can do with this." I think what is going to happen is this little red-haired maid is going to fall in love with this family. They're not used to, the British is not used to having the fun that us Americans put on our house staff. So this is going to break all the stuffy rules that England has ever seen.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be entertaining. And not to bring down the enjoyment of this redneck show, but I'm sorry. For me, Redneck Island has not gotten me that interested. Did you watch that, anybody?
I did.
I
think it's kind of like a Survivor for rednecks. And we've only...
One episode, you're right.
I just don't think it's sort of early yet.
How embarrassed for my gender, though, that two guys get up and medically leave, or, you know, because of their, you know, they walk off the show. That was a disappointment. It's also interesting, I understand they're no longer together, but it's also interesting to see a former girlfriend of Ralph Rooster Kaiser is on Redneck Island. Dove was his ex-girlfriend, if you guys didn't know.
Really?
Yep. Also, speaking of somebody that knows people on a show, I saw a tweet from Laura Stein, BB10's Laura, who said, "Follow one of my best friends on Love in the Wild," and she named him, and I followed her on Twitter, and I watched the show the other night, and I go, I still don't see her. I think she is one of the six women that popped in at the end of the episode the other night. So one of those new women is a friend of Laura's.
We have to say congratulations. She gave birth to a beautiful little baby girl. So Congratulations to her.
Oh,
absolutely.
I keep
missing Love in the Wild, so I finally put it in my TiVo as a season pass, so now I won't miss it anymore. But I'm down two episodes, and I need to catch up.
Has anyone saw the two? I saw the advertisement. I have not watched the show. I find it kind of funny, but they have taken, I think it's on Fox. It's called The Choice, and I think it's a new reality dating show. So America has gotten down to so desperate that they will go on a dating on a TV show to say, "I want that for the night."
I tried to watch one episode, and I didn't make it through the first episode. I didn't make it all the way to the end of it.
Wasn't it horrible?
So bad.
That is a waste of production right there. And then there's another dating show I saw somewhere else, so I don't know what is up with. We've had 54 bachelors and bachelorettes. None of that shit succeeded, so I don't know why they would put this on. But anyway, I'm not too happy about those. It's just, a waste of time.
And
it will
congrats,
give me more Big Brother time.
Yeah. I didn't know this, but congrats to Rob and Amber. Lola says she heard they just had a little girl, their third child.
Oh, yeah.
Aww. They make some cute babies.
Oh, yeah. No, speaking of those dating shows, it was the one that I find might be a little interesting is Knockout. That was all right, but the Choice, which came on right after it, which used all the voices, big chairs to turn around. Oh my God, I'll never get that hour back.
Yeah,
that was that was so bad.
And they want to know why divorce rate is so high.
I guess they had to maybe get some use out of those spinning chairs again, or did they steal those from the voice? Or
I guess. That was awful.
I don't get it.
Say again, Mr. Matt.
I said the use of those same style chairs would definitely be a lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, I think it's in the same studio on the same network with Fox, so they didn't have anybody to argue about that with.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but I continue to record and have not watched past the first episode. I continue to record duets, and I saw an ad on TV saying it was this great show. I've seen some people tweet saying they're getting interested. Did anybody continue to endure that and watch it? Is it getting better? Is it worth me even going back and watching duets?
One night was enough for me.
No, it's not.
It's horrible.
It's not worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other new shows that are coming up? Are we going to have our plates full with The Glass House and then Big Brother and those are the two that we really need to because The Amazing Race is done with right now, Survivor. So what are we
looking for? Amazing Race is, people have mentioned it, and if you look hard enough, it's... I actually went to the Australian website, and it's blocked from my country, but it does show up on YouTube, I believe. But there is an Australian version of Amazing Race that has aired two episodes, if you're really into Amazing Race, to do that. Survivor, obviously, we're getting retreaded again with Second Chance people from previous seasons. That doesn't start up till what, September? But we had a couple of premiere, or at least one premiere that I know of, I think Cherry can talk to this, Storage Wars, and that start up again with new episodes?
Yes. I'm not sure. I think it's already... I think the season may have just ended, actually.
With?
But we may be having... Nabila on again real soon, so keep
no,
an
no,
eye
no,
out.
No, no, no. I know for a fact that their third season just started like a week or so ago.
Okay.
I saw them advertising the new season starting for Storage Wars.
I'm getting private messages at the same time, so I'm trying to do
well,
so many things at once.
I haven't watched it yet, but Jerry brought up a week ago this new show on Oprah's network called Million Dollar Neighborhood. That just started up.
Does anybody watch Hell's Kitchen with me?
I haven't, Jerry. I don't know if those winners, when they actually win, they don't ever seem to go on to do bigger, better things like they're promised. So I've given up on that, unfortunately.
It was pretty good this week.
But doesn't he have a new
MasterChef
as well?
MasterChef, yes. Yep.
Okay.
They run back to back on
good
Mondays
with you
and
about
Tuesdays.
That.
Yeah, it's that show is actually one of the best rated shows in not just this country. That show is a highly rated show in many, many countries. If you look that up on the internet, that show is run in I don't know how many countries, and it's got great ratings in all kinds of countries. Just they rave over it. And they show them back to back on Mondays and Tuesdays. They're each an hour long.
Jerry, you and I typed at the same time.
I need my Amy. I need my Amy.
So
and
no,
Ben actually might be getting us somebody from MasterChef the very first season. So if that works out, we might be having a guest from MasterChef, which would be awesome because that show is really highly rated, and it's fun to watch. If you haven't watched it, you should give it a try at least.
All right. While we're waiting for somebody to join you in that conversation, I saw a tweet just pop up from Jordan. You guys seen some of the pictures of their newly decorated apartment out in L.A., and it's kind of neat. I'm glad that they're still, Jeff and Jordan are still together and seem to be happy out there. And there's Amy out there in L.A.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
So, Hell's Kitchen. I'm so glad you watch. Ron and I used to love this show, and he was so glad that I watched because Paul didn't watch, nobody else watched it, and it's such a good show, and he was so happy that he had somebody to talk Hell's Kitchen with, and now I know how he feels because now I'm looking for a Hell's Kitchen partner to talk Hell's Kitchen with, so I'm glad that you watch, and I have you to talk with.
I just wish they wouldn't have it on twice a week.
I know.
That's a lot, but I still watch it.
I think once they get down, I'm hoping, I don't know, they may run the entire season like this, but
yeah.
I'm wondering if when they
get
down to, fewer contestants, if they'll drop the Tuesday shows, or
yeah.
Maybe one of the nights anyway.
Yeah, especially it used to be on Friday nights, but yeah, now it's Monday and Tuesday, which is a lot, but
yeah, 4 hours of you don't watch MasterChef, but
no,
if you watch both of them, it's 4 hours just
yeah.
Mondays and Tuesdays on the cooking shows, which is a lot.
It is a lot.
So, on Hell's Kitchen, the first competition, they wake them up with barking dogs, and
they put them in overalls and take them to a farm.
Yeah, and they were real dogs. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just noise over the intercom.
Right. They actually had the dogs in the house.
Yeah.
And they put them in these overalls and take them to this farm, and there's a closed 18-wheel truck, and Ramsey whistles, and they open up the truck, and a boatload of sheep come out, and they all have collars on with different food items written on them.
Right.
And Ramsey tells them that the competition is that they're going to have to cook 4 lamb dishes, and they have to, one at a time, go out and grab their food items off of the sheep and place them on a board, and whatever food items they have, they will have to incorporate in their 4 lamb dishes, and the winner of this competition will win the luxury for this week. And so it was a lot of fun to watch as far as them running out and trying to tackle the sheep, and people were falling on their face and falling in the dirt, and it was a mess as usual. You can kind of picture what that was like. But the women had been winning most of the challenges. And finally, the men won, and they were able to win a trip out to the racetrack. And this time, Gordon Ramsay didn't go with them.
No.
But he gave them $100 to bet, and he told them that he wanted it to be used to bet with, not on hot dogs. And they bet it on a blue horse because that was their team colors. So they placed it on a blue horse, and the blue horse came in absolutely last place. So, Amy, have you come up with any favorites yet on either team?
You know, on the girl side, the larger girl, I think she's a good cook.
Which one now?
The larger girl, the big girl. I'm not sure of her name. The heavyset girl.
What is her name? I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And she seems to have a little bit of an attitude coming up on her on next week, especially. I think. And it looks like it's really going to get good. This week they got into it a little bit. But because the women lost, they had to not only go out and clean up after the sheep, but they had to go in and prep the kitchen for the service. Then they had the dinner service, and Brian couldn't cook cod to save his soul. He ran out of cod, I think, before any cod made it out of the men's kitchen.
Right.
And he was the first one booted out of the kitchen. Then Roshni on the girls' team couldn't cook beef Wellington, and she was booted out. And then Don couldn't cook the New York strips, and he was booted out. And he kept telling Chef, one more minute. And then he looked at Chef and he says, well, maybe a minute and a half. And Chef Ramsay finally booted him out, but they finally did complete a dinner service. But by then, Chef Ramsay was so pissed off that he said that both teams were losers and that they both had to go up and pick 2 people to put up for a nomination to be sent home. And the guys chose Don and Brian, and the girls chose Roshni and Danielle. And I know the girls wanted so bad to put Barbie up.
Mm-hmm.
But because she wasn't one of them that got booted out of the kitchen.
They couldn't.
And what are your thoughts on Danielle? I mean, on Barbie.
Oh, she's, and I don't think she's a very good cook, but from the looks of it, but she's just there to add aggravation to the team.
I think he's going to keep her just to keep the drama going.
Yep.
It's one of those where he's not going to get rid of her just to irritate everyone.
One else, yeah.
How many shows does Gordon Ramsay do? My God, I'm watching the chat, and all these other shows keep popping up, people talking about.
Oh, yeah, he's I don't know, he's like a workaholic. I don't know how many shows this guy does.
Yeah, and he does some in England, too, because if you watch BBC America, they're on there, too.
Right. So the guys picked Don and Brian. The girls picked Roshni and Danielle. Chef told Don to go home, and he said he wasn't done yet. He told Danielle and Brian to get back in line, and he told Roshni to give him his jacket. But then he told her that she's not going home. She's going to the men's team. So
she should have gone
now,
home.
I think so, too. I don't think she has what it takes at all. You know, many of these cooks on Hell's Kitchen, I don't see them as having the cooking skills to be a head chef at all.
No. No. They must have a few that they want, they know can make it, but...
And then they have all these others that are just sort of there to make the show.
Yeah.
But you have to figure out which are the few that are there that actually have the skill.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't show at first. You've got to figure them out. And so far, it's been kind of hard for me to figure out which ones are the ones that actually have the skill.
Mm. I agree.
But next week, the teaser at the end of the show, it looks like one of the women, and you know how catty women can be, one of the women gets caught trying to sabotage another woman on the team.
Yeah, that looked... put something on her plate that she didn't know was there or something. It looked kind of bad.
Yep, and she gets caught. And that's going to be... I can imagine Gordon Ramsay is going to chew her up and spit her out.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got somewhat related question for you ladies. Has any of your spouses, your husbands, ever tried to pull a Gordon Ramsay on you while you've been cooking?
And what do you mean by that?
Well,
yelling
doesn't
and screaming?
Doesn't he come in and try to tell them what to do and then screams at them when they don't do things right? I mean, you wouldn't still be married to that, you know. I'm just saying that how many guys can get away with what he does to those cooks?
My husband loves my cooking. I'm the one that I get in trouble because the only thing he cooks is he grills. I do the seasoning of the steaks, and because we love to grill steaks at home. And so I do all the seasoning of the steaks, and he takes them out and puts them on the grill. And then I like to go out and sort of supervise while he's grilling the steaks, and I get in trouble because I'm telling him how to grill the steaks, and I get in trouble for doing that. So it's sort of the other way around.
Dina, you're on fire tonight, pun intended.
Thank you. I just thought it would be so fitting with the Hell's Kitchen flamethrower there. I swear to God. you know, the chatterer see it, but I swear to you not, the very first dinner that I made for Russell, I don't know why I wanted to make meatloaf for the first dinner. You know, I was smoking something good for me to want to make meatloaf, but I tried to make meatloaf, and I went into the kitchen to make homemade breadcrumbs and put the toast in the oven, and he went out, went downstairs to use the bathroom, and he come out, and the smoke detector was on. And the condominiums that I was living at the time, they have a system where if a smoke detector comes on, 911 automatically shows up.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
So when he came out of the bathroom, I swear to God, this was his exact words. I take it dinner is ready.
Oh, my goodness, Dina, you crack me up.
Dinner is being served tomorrow night at 6 p.m. if anybody would like to come join us.
Are you cooking?
Hail to the no, it will be catered. I'll let the rednecks from England, if they're back, I'll let them come and cook you some possum and squirrel.
Oh, no, thank you. I don't know. I love to cook, but I don't do anything like with recipe. Most of my cooking is things I've learned to cook from my grandma or my mom, and I don't do anything by recipe. I just kind of throw it all together, and my husband has always loved my cooking, but it's all sort of Southern cooking, and most of it's really fattening. You know, it's not the healthy food that we should be eating. So I need to learn how to cook healthier. And I guess I should be watching some of these cooking shows that teach you how to cook healthy food. But instead I watch Gordon Ramsay and MasterChef, and I don't learn much as far as recipes or anything from those. I just, they're more for entertainment than they are to show you how to cook, so.
I agree, yeah.
So, Amy, we'll have to just plan on you calling in and talking Hell's Kitchen with me.
Okay.
On Thursdays. I think it's going to really start heating up and getting really good, and we're going to have to start picking favorites and see which one of us can pick out
who's the good cook.
Yeah, who the cooks are in this kitchen and who's going to make it and who's not. So we'll see what happens, and I can't wait to find out who the saboteur is in the kitchen next week. That's going to be interesting.
Okay.
So you can stay on here with us if you want.
Okay.
What else do you want to talk about, Paul?
I don't know if we... You did watch My Boy Chicago. Obviously, that's the other show that recently started up. We had quite a nice conversation on Manic Monday with Michelle, and Chi-Town Joe called in with all his insider info. I'm hoping the next episode is going to be a little more real. The first one just seemed like it was trying to copy so much of what had happened in the first Mob Wives. Dina, I don't know. I guess I watched it and saw so many similarities that I got focused on that, and it was not as real to me or as good to me in the first episode. Somebody tweeted, however, the other day that Nora had her the news came out that she had her father's body exhumed. Did you guys hear that?
No.
No. But I so welcome that. I believe once a body is gone, it does not belong to the government. So if that is truly the case, then that is huge for her, and I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
If that's true, and I understand completely where you're coming from with your statement of seeing the similarities, except Paul, these women, time will tell, but this looks to be so more explosive, and not so much script. Maybe I'm looking back on Renee and putting the pieces of the puzzle together with her sister being one of the main producers. You know, it's
right.
All about. But I can say that we have not seen one of the main characters come alive. And this little chick has the curliest hair, and I wish Joe was on the line with us because he could tell us the names of these ladies. But you haven't even seen her.
She was the one that wasn't able to go to the restaurant, that one. Yeah, I was disappointed. I forget her name too, but when I finished watching it, I thought, I hope, you know, the next episode, you know, we get to see a little more of them as opposed to maybe what the producers said. This is kind of what we want to see in the first episode. Just let them just start being themselves, you know what I mean? And she was the one that seemed, as I watched it, one of the few that seemed to be the most real. And all the others seem to have some kind of, you know, direction from the producers.
I think that the one that you're talking about, the one that whose father's body was exhumed, she looks like Bethany Franklin or the New York Housewives. I think she resembles her. And the blonde resembles Ramona from the same series. That little blonde is full of money and piss and vinegar in my eyes, and she's a snob. She's a rich snob mob, and she's got her nose up in there, and I think she's going to get it jacked down a few notches this season. I, like I said before this even started with Chicago, these ladies have seen season one. They were probably taping through season two. When we were seeing season two of New York, they knew they had to bring it to the table, and so did the producers. And I bet you anything, I'm still calling it, there will be a Mob Wives Vegas before it's all said and done.
You think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if the producers are not going ahead and thinking about it, we have enough within our little group of people here, we'll start it ourselves and let them buy it from us.
Okay, it's Nora Schweiss that... they said her father is presumed dead, and she was the one that was in Florida for 10 years, and she's back to find out what happened to her father. So she would be the one that had her father's body resumed.
Well, I think that once a body dies, it should go back to the family. It shouldn't belong to the government.
I don't know how the government can do that. That's horrible. Renee is the blonde. Renee Fecorata Russo.
Yes.
And Christine is the one who her father was the cop that was also a burglar for the mob. And
she despises her father and her father's actions.
And Pia Riza is the stripper. Or no, Pia Riza is the stripper whose father was a cop. And Christine is the one, her father was a burglar for the mob. And Leah DeSimone, her father was the Wolfpack DeSimone, William the Wolfpack DeSimone. And he's a retired mob associate. I finally found some of my notes. She's the one that likes the chubby men.
Yes.
she still lives at home with her father, and she said if she ever does find the love of her life, that they're going to have to realize that her father comes along as part of the package. So I don't know if anybody's going to be putting a ring on that finger for a while. If her father comes along with it.
Well, she likes some chubby. She likes some chubby, so.
Yeah, she's a chubby chaser.
Yeah. She's beautiful, though.
She's just beautiful.
Now, before we run out of time, I did find another show because you asked what new shows were coming on. I believe The New Real World is set in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. I just read it premieres June 27th. So there's another
June
new
27th.
One.
I'm always anxious to see another Real World. I knew it was going to be, all I had heard was Mexico. But it's St. Thomas.
What season is Real World? Because
20,
in actuality.
27.
I mean, that's the godfather of all reality shows right there. That was the first one that came on.
It's season 27 and it starts on the 27th.
And it was based on a documentary that was called An American Family. That's where they got the idea of doing The Real World. Because they had, I can't remember where it aired, but this was like they were following this family around and it ended up, I think they ended up getting divorced, but they had cameras in these people's houses and it was a, you know, real situation. I thought, oh, let's do this on our own. And, 27 seasons.
They have really brought some major issues such as AIDS to the front burner. And when it needed to be, there was a young man with AIDS on Real World. And
Pedro,
absolutely, and they brought it to the table, and they weren't scared to do so. So I'm still, after all these years, I may not catch every episode, but I give them mad respect.
Somebody was asking me the other day, and I don't believe they are, but are they ever going to do another Road Rules? Does anybody know anything about Road Rules or...
I think they're probably just doing those challenges. That was kind of the spinoff, wasn't it?
Right. I haven't seen a Road Rules in years, but they do the challenges, like you say, and those are very good. Those are a lot of fun, but I haven't seen a Road Rules in years. But those MTV shows are so much fun, and they always seem to be able to keep it fresh. And
They get booze.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Well, it's been another fun night. We've only got about 2 minutes left, so I need to say goodbye to everyone. Thank you all so much for calling in.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Mack. Thank you, Amy, and thank you, Dina. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you all because we're running out of time very, very quickly here. I hope everyone joins us on Monday for Manic Monday with Michelle Costa at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. We will close the show with Ron, as we always do. Take good care of yourselves. And be kind to each other. Here's Ron.
Tonight was a great show. And thank you guys for coming. And I'm going to quit off the show with a song. And something that is truly, I say thank you to y'all. Like, song ain't working. Say thank you for coming to the show. You are so great, and I love you all. We thank you. We thank you for coming to the show. And we... Okay, fuck. I couldn't get the switchboard to work. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you all so very much for being here with us tonight. Take care, everyone. God bless. Good night.